Off the Ball, GAA.
I think if everybody's been honest with themselves, you know, we would have went down to Dublin on the hope that we can ignite the thing again. But once we were beaten by Cork, I think we knew deep down that we weren't going to win in All Ireland.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Movember ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
This is News Talk.
All right. Tony Smith. Well, that was some day of football. Kerry and Mayo are in the All-Ireland semi-finals. First of all, how does it feel? The aftermath of covering this doubleheader in Croke Park. The seagulls are swooping all around us at the minute. We'll come back to Matty Donnelly in a moment. What a performance. He's still on the pitch. What's the feeling after today?
My initial thought is that after today, the way Kerry won and the way Mayo won, I think that is going to bring them on for two different ways, right? So after last weekend, it was the narrative was Kerry and everyone else. And I think the way that they won, they kind of fell over the line. Like at half time today, you're probably thinking they'll kick on, maybe win by 5 or 6 points. And they won ugly. Now, I think the key point was that Tyrone never got back in level terms. And when there's analysis done on the game, I think it'll be Shane Murphy's kicking. His kicking, when Tyrone put a bit of a squeeze on Kerry, I think that will be seen as how Kerry were able to break, I suppose, Tyrone's momentum every time. Because Murphy was able to pick out a short kick out and Kerry were able to keep the ball for a sustained period of time. And then for the first game, like, the big question mark around Mayo was their defence and how they were leaking so many goal chances and goal opportunities. Today they looked really, really good. And then when Cork found themselves in a bit of a rut and they were trying to chase the game, then you see the likes of Kobe, Ryan, Dara Byrne came to life today in Croke Park. It looked like he was at home here. That's when they came to play football. So on the balance of things, I still do think today the best two teams won their games, but I like the way that they won it differently.
That's interesting. We're going to come back to Mayo in a minute, and a few of them did look at home in Croke Park. But we've got to talk about Tyrone and Kerry first off. And the All-Ireland champions were pushed to the pin of their collar today. Armin Heinrich's goal at the death, 4 seconds to go, puts a bit of a spin on it. But this is a one-point game. And as you mentioned, Shane Murphy gets that kick out. God, David Clifford takes off down the line like his life depended on it. How did Tyrone reel them into a point when not a sinner gave them a chance during the week?
I think they just did a Tyrone on it. They just stuck in the game and, like, Darren McCurry coming off the bench, like, everything he did, yeah, he got unbelievable scores, but, like, even the freeze he got, Tommy, he kicked 2 two-pointed frees down into the hill. It's not an easy thing to do. In them circumstances, with the pressure on, like, every opportunity they got, they basically took. Now, they'll probably feel that a couple of attacks, they probably had a few silly maybe turnovers, but they stayed in the game, and that was probably the case we made to John before the game. If Tyrone stay in the game with 5 or 10 minutes to go, they'll be well in it, and they were. And it's just, I think Kerry just did it when they could, and Kerry did it when they needed. And as we said, like, David going down here in the corner, like, he had to win that ball, and he did.
He was unbelievable today. Dylan Gainey got man of the match. Like, Dylan Gainey was so good against Armagh. And he was so good again today. There was a couple of moments where he produces a two-pointer, you know, straight off the back of a couple of Tyrone scores. He's winning ball. Just some of his scores were just so slick today. Like, what a fun. Well, who would you have given man of the match today? Would you have given it to Dylan Gainey, or would you have gone back to David Clifford?
No, I would have given it to Dylan Gainey. And do you know what I like about Dylan Gainey? He probably, in the first 10, 15 minutes, I was just checking my notes there. I don't think he had many touches of the ball. Mm. And then all of a sudden, he gets his first point down into the hill in the first half. And I actually think that was his best point of the day. He got a lovely two-pointer, obviously, in the second half. He gets that point, doesn't panic. Like, how many times, and I've been in that situation as a forward, when you're not on the ball for 10, 15 minutes, you do a couple of things that are erratic because you want to get into the game. But I think it shows how comfortable he is in the Kerry jersey now, that he doesn't have to touch the ball for 10 or 15 minutes or be in the game, really. And then he just came alive. And then from there, he just built and built and built. And then obviously he got crucial scores. The second two-pointer he got in the second half, you could just see the second he put it over the bar, he turns to the Kerry fans and celebrates. Like, he's brought his game to a new level, Tommy.
He has.
Yeah.
He nearly produced the flash today. The little bit of sugar that we were talking about with Owen McElholm or Darren McCurry hitting 10 points when he comes in. David Clifford scores maybe 1-8, 1-9, sets up the goal at the end. And apart from the goal, a lot of it felt very functional from David Clifford. As in, he had one-on-one opportunities with his man, and he skinned them every time. He fisted over 2 points over the bar. I don't know what your stance is on fisted points, but James O'Donoghue has reversed his long-standing derision of them recently there.
Well, after today, like, David got two...
He needed them.
Yeah, he got two fisted points in a row. Like, what more can we say about the man?
Mm.
Like, even... I think it goes even back to last year's All-Ireland final. What did he kick in the final? 7 or 8 points.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get man of the match because that's the standard we expect of him.
Yeah.
Last week, 1-10. That's the standard that's expected of him 100%. Again. Like, and today...
Does it again.
Like, we were watching the game there and he got his first goal. Like, and it was just, like, a laugh around us, as in, like, what more can this man do? Like, yeah. He can just do no wrong, and everything that he does is just a different level, and you just have to sit back and enjoy it. I think even as I'm sure even Tyrone supporters today at certain stages were like that's a man at work, and like, what can you do to stop him? I think Tyrone might have started off with maybe was a Quinn, and then they changed him up as well. So like, what did he get today? He got 1-5, 1-6 at least, and you know,
and he got one eight
again,
and a number of assists as well,
and that's what you expect from him.
I want to linger on Tyrone for a couple of minutes because they've only played 4 championship games, but they've beaten Roscommon, they've beaten Mayo, and they lost Armagh after extra time. They're a point in it with the All-Ireland champions. Like, in terms of a footballing county, like what they're doing consistently at underage level, their club championships are fantastic. I just didn't see 26 championship working out the way it did after watching them in the league. But Malachy O'Rourke, that group of players, they've gotten so much out of themselves this year.
They have, yeah. And the one thing I'd say about the league now, and I think that's kind of shown with different teams that have won, say, obviously Division 1, Division 2. Like, the league doesn't really now have any semblance of what's going to happen now. You know, like, even every game that you're seeing, like, all the teams are so evenly matched. Like, they beat Roscommon by a point. They beat Mayo by a point. Like, they could have went either way, and we could be talking about a completely different year. And so many teams are like that, Tommy. Yeah. I think that's why we love this new structure. But back to Tyrone, like, we all know how good their underage setup is, and this is where the key point is. Like, underage does not guarantee success straight away.
No,
absolutely doesn't. But it gives you the confidence. It does give you a bit of a springboard, but it doesn't happen overnight. Like, the last 4 or 5 years, and you see even McElhone today. Like, McElhone was on fire today.
He was class.
He was excellent.
He looked so dangerous. Even
exactly.
Before,
yeah.
McCurry kind of got into the groove that we saw McCurry do, McElhone was bringing the fight, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. And then you have obviously Matty Donnelly, and. Look, Matty Donnelly was down there for a long time. He was with his 2 kids. It was a lovely moment. He was down on the pitch. I think the way he was embracing his Tyrone colleagues, it looked like maybe it was the last hurrah. Hopefully not from a Jay perspective. And obviously, we want to see him in the Tyrone jersey again. Hopefully, there's no decisions made. But just the way, I suppose, he stood up to, like, his left. How many times have we seen him kick over the bar with his left foot, his weak side? So, look, after the game, it looked very kind of ominous that maybe that was the last time we might see Matty in Croke Park. But what a performance to go out on, regardless of the result.
The kick-out battle was, again, really interesting. I'm going to just quote Kieran McGinney from the Hyde earlier this year. There was plenty of piggery out there, right? There was a number of frees actually given by referee Paddy Nealon. Some incidents in the second half where I thought there was a definite free and there was none given. So he was obviously watching a lot of pulling and dragging and fighting going on and grappling. But, like, Conker Patrick had a monstrous game. And on the flip side, Mark O'Shea has been in utter all-star form all year long. What did you see out there today in midfield?
I think that's it, nail on the head. I think it was just when the ball went into the air, I did feel, Tommy, and I think this is where Kerry kind of got their springboard in the first half. I thought Kerry sort of dominated.
Okay.
And whether it was a tactical switch at half-time by Tyrone probably would have, you'd say, the definite least broke even in the second half. But at the start, like, I think Kerry's four big men around the middle, like, you've O'Connor, you've the two O'Connors, yes, you have Sean O'Brien, obviously, as well. Like, for me, like, when the ball was into the air, yeah, I agree with the geezer argument that it is piggery. But there was a lot of breaking ball, and, like, if you're winning the breaking ball, you're setting yourself up for a scoring opportunity. It's so important. Now, that's what I loved about Shane Murphy today. Like, the second the ball went dead, the ball was on the tee. Like, the ball must have been still in the air, and he had the ball under his arms going straight. And even the first half, over towards the Cusack side, he got a power of kickouts off, and that just propelled Kerry on for a quick attack straight down to the 13th position where a certain David Clifford was waiting for the ball. So it's so important. I think as we get more used to these new rules, and the game will evolve the next couple of years, I think there's going to be so much more tactical ingenuity with these kickouts
for sure.
And how we restart with the game again.
Yeah, he's been so impressive. Any other notes on Kerry or Tyrone before we go? Anything on Kerry before we move on? Because I want to get to the earlier game.
Not a whole pile. I think what I liked about Kerry was that they've kind of won ugly. Mm. And winning ugly obviously has its positives because it makes you more battle hardened. And like at half time, like we were speaking at half time and we were probably thinking maybe they'll flex their muscles here and they could win by 7 or 8 points.
Like 111 to 12 at the break, but Tyrone had reeled off a number of two-pointers too from...
Exactly, yeah. And as you'd say, and I call it the old canal end, Kerry were shooting down that way in the second half and you'd think they're probably the scoring goals with the bit of a breeze that was swirling around here today. So I think the fact that, like, the main thing was that Tyrone, or Kerry never let Tyrone get back on level terms.
Yeah, and from the 27th minute.
Exactly, yeah. And I put that down to Shane Murphy.
Really?
I genuinely do, and I think... Obviously, we'll talk about David Clifford, Paul Gainey, Paddy Clifford, his two-pointers and his frees. But it started from Shane Murphy. And I think if we were to look at, say, a kick-out map of the kick-outs he got away and the Kerry won, I think they'd be telling a tale in terms of how many times did he go up and get a shot off.
What a blessing when your two-time All-Star goalkeeper is out for months upon months that Dr. Crokes have Shane Murphy ready and waiting in the wings.
Unbelievable. Different level.
Yeah, and you can see the connection he has with the likes of O'Shea and other fellas out in the field as well, and the speed that he gets his kick out of. We were watching, and I'm going to flip the other game now because I feel like the quality in that second game was on another level to what we saw in the first game. And one of the things are how slow the Cork kickouts were in comparison to Kerry's. Or maybe is that a Cork thing? Do they want to go slow?
Well, the one big kickout Cork have is where they have both Maguire and they have O'Callaghan, and they've them standing beside one another, and yeah, they're trying to box one another out. Whether Doyle was waiting for them to get to one side to try and overload, yeah, or it's just he didn't see any options. Now, we know Mayo love a press. At one stage, we counted 5 press.
Hey, it was a good press.
Yeah, it was a 5-man press at some stage in the first half. So Doyle obviously couldn't get them off short. But, yeah, look, the first game in terms of quality, I think, especially in the first half, was it a case of maybe, I suppose there was a lot of inexperience on the pitch, maybe there was a bit of nerves. Mm. It looked like a lot of players were slipping as well. Maybe the conditions didn't help. But I thought as the game went on, Mayo looked really, really good. And, like, obviously, when we talk about the players that Mayo have, and maybe it's kind of a change in the guard in terms of the Mayo team, and that's what Andy's been trying to do. And I go back to McHale Park with the Roscommon game, and I feel that Andy got a lot of unfair criticism, probably from Mayo people. Like, Andy, like, for the whole season, Andy has basically got them within the kick of a ball of a league final.
Yeah.
We'll absolutely accept that their performance against Roscommon was not good enough. But now they find themselves in a semi-final, and I would say, without being, you know, too negative, but I'd say, lads, we've loads to work on here.
Yeah.
Like, even coming in today, I still didn't really know where Mayo were at.
Yeah.
And I think today really showed it. And I think one man above anyone else, Reiner Donoghue, for me,
oh,
like, how many times have we seen him just break the front defensive press and just clip over a point?
Yeah.
Every single time. And, like, for what he does off the ball, for me, Tommy, is so, so impressive. I've seen him here live, I hadn't seen him in a couple of weeks. Just his work rate.
And has he gone to another level with that? Because he always had that extra bit of work rate that an inside forward might have, but has he gone to another level?
I would say he probably, I think as a forward, and when you don't have the ball, because of the new rules, you probably have to. Because if you keep a high press on, you're defending as a 15-on-15. And if you're lazy with it, straight away you're defending 11-11. So it's within every team's interest to press high, because basically the team has to break the whole 15 down instead of getting beyond the half of line, only breaking 11-11. So I think there's definitely an emphasis put on that.
I'm just watching Kieran Donaghy stroll past the lawnmowers over to where he was perched on the Cusick stand sideline. And I'm wondering, did he lose his AirPods? Because John Kiely lost his AirPods after a Munster final and some of the Limerick boys had to whip out the Find My iPhone to get them back. What's he looking for?
It looks like...
You'd have to keep an eye on him. He's looking for something.
Something, yeah.
It's an interesting development as well, having him as a... And where Fernia not officially listed as selector. I'm sure he's having a big influence on the Kerry attack too. But for what Andy Moran is trying to do with Mayo, right, and this young group, like Livingston in his debut season, alongside Shane Murphy and Rory Began, all-star contenders right now. Another two brilliant saves today. Not as many saves as recent games,
no.
Two big saves. Coyne is the captain at 26. McHugh is 24. McGrail, who started as 19. Callanan, 23. I thought he had an unbelievable game. Then you've got the 26s in McBrien and Hessian. Bob Toohey, 23, who I felt got kind of flooded out at times, but still had big influences and big moments in the game. Jack Kearney, 25. Stephen Cohen brings the age up there at 31. Paul Towey is in his mid-20s. Jordan Flynn, 28. And then the three books up top.
Yeah.
19 points between 19-year-old Dara Byrne, 18-year-old Kobe MacDonald, and 28-year-old Ryan Gunn.
Yeah, unbelievable. And, like...
19 points?
Yeah.
What a contribution.
And, like, isn't it just such a pity that... And this is obviously coming from a rival county. It's such a pity that that man is going to be heading for Australia at some stage throughout the year. Like, just an absolute joy to watch. And like, even he gets his first 2-pointer into the hill, like, he's no right to go for it, but I suppose he does have every right to go for it because it's Kobe.
I love the way he did it. I kind of muttered to you that, oh, Kobe's on.
Yeah, here we go, here we go.
And
nobody
shoots from there with the outside of the right into the hill, given the wind that's usually there. But the way he set it up beautifully with Cronin, like, Cronin's actually marking him.
Yeah, and he did. And do you know what he did? He went for the feint and he went back and then he went to feint again. And then that just gave him the little few meters of space. And the thing what I like about Kobe is when he's shooting, he doesn't need a big long wind-up. You see certain forwards and players love it, need a big wind-up to get the distance.
He's got such flexibility,
He just, whatever way he kicks the ball, his angle or just the way he kicks the ball outside the boot, it flowed over the bar.
He settled after 30 seconds. He got their first point of the day. Myself and yourself looked at each other early in that game about the man of the match, Dara Byrne. I think he lost the ball. Maybe there was a turnover. And I was wondering, like, Byrne needs to actually just get the ball and shoot next time. That's what I felt. Now, I was talking to Andy Moran afterwards. We'll play the full interview out in News Talk later. You'll get it in the podcast if you're listening. And I asked Andy about knowing when a fella's in it. And he said, he wins the ball down the line on the far side of the field, 7 or 8 minutes in, and Colin Boyle just nudges Andy and says, Dara Byrne is in the game now. That's all he needed to see was Byrne winning that ball. What? Like, what a performance from this kid.
Super performance. And you have to remember, like, at the start of the year, he started really, really well with Mayo, the senior team during the league.
Yeah.
And then I would have felt he had a bit of a blip. Mm. And he had a bit of a blip with the Mayo under-20s as well, if we're being honest. At the kind of final, he wasn't himself. I was doing the Kieran Donaghy role on that particular day. And Dara was really, for his really, really high standard, he was poor that day.
Okay.
And I kind of felt, is that his level? And whatever he did, he might have taken a week or two off, and maybe Andy put the arm around the shoulder and said, no, you're going to be my man.
Mm.
And like, his performance today, like, you're dead right. We looked at each other and thought, he's not quite at it. I know he got
a few kids.
Yeah.
McGregor got turned over. Sheedy got turned over.
Yeah.
And McGregor was off injured, but Sheedy had a great game. But Byrne really settled.
Yeah, and he got a bang last week, and we're thinking maybe that's the effects of that. But once he gets his first score and...
The 2 points.
Oh, unbelievable. And you know what I like about it as well? And I think everyone's following David Clifford. They get a big score and turn to the crowd and they're loving life, celebrating. Like, I think that's brilliant, and it only brings on more fanfare. When you see one of the main men of the team, Kobe's doing it now, obviously David's done it for the last few years, it just brings this whole energy to the whole squad, to the whole team. When you get a big score and you're like, I deserve to celebrate this score. I'm a good player. I've kicked a good score, so why shouldn't I celebrate? And I love that.
They've definitely taken it from David Clifford, but they've also stolen it from the hurlers who went freeze 80 yards from goal.
And there's a little fist bump.
The fist bump, yeah. And I might get in trouble with my hurling buddies in Cratlow, but like, come on, like, Kobe does it. Darren McCurry does it in the second half. Dylan Gainey does it. We should have a fist pump-o-meter after these games, but it is great to see, and you want to see these celebrations. Tommy Conroy comes in and has a big impact too. You'd have seen this fella a lot. Moran has options now off the bench. Manny Ruan comes in. He gets stung with Rory Dean for a 2-point free that looked big at the time. But he has options coming in. Why did Cork look so out of options up front?
I felt, to be honest with you, it was because Mayo didn't, I suppose. They stayed zonal. And in the first half, we noticed that especially. Even though they were zonal, kind of trying to defend into the canal end or the Davin stand, they were very zonal while they were trying to keep defending. And like, as in Cork tried... Obviously, they were trying for Stephen Sherlock, right?
Yeah.
Trying to get Stephen Sherlock on at 1v1 to try and get a 2-pointer off. When that doesn't happen, they need something else. Stephen Sherlock has had a phenomenal year.
Yeah.
Brilliant year. All-star form talk, right? But if he's on his on and off day, they need something else. And I would have felt sometimes in the second half, especially Tommy, they would have went into maybe a couple of bad habits that you'd see them going down the dark alleys and getting turned over.
Down this left wing.
And that just sucks the life out of
you. Sam Callanan had about 3 turnovers down in that channel right there between the Hill and the Hogan.
Yeah, he did. And when you're getting them turnovers and you're chasing the game and then obviously there's loads of space at the back and Mayo clip over a score, it's just a dagger. And you're trying to go again and you're working so hard to get your score. And it felt like Cork were working really, really hard to get their score. Like Chris Oak-Jones was a prime example. Like, on the face of it, he had an excellent game.
Did some great stuff.
And then the last thing he did all the hard work. He'd take on his man, he'd go by him. And whether it was great scramble defence by Mayo, or just he was just not concentrating for the last maybe fist over the bar or the shot at the post, he was just tailing it wide. And them can have a massive impact on the game as well, and psychologically too. And then when your main man, obviously, as we said, Sherlock isn't getting the 2-pointers that he's been getting all year, there needs to be something else. And when there's not something else, then that is where you go back to maybe the comfort zone and maybe making the mistakes. And that's what I liked about Mayo, in terms of they knew the talk all week was Stephen Sherlock's going to be a two-point shooter and we are so open defensively. So let's batten down the hatches here. And they did that. And that's what they got a lot of their second half scores from me basically on the break, because there was loads and loads of space. That's what I really, really liked about them.
Yeah. It's lovely football to watch as well. Turnover, kick pass, score. You know,
it's a simple game.
We saw Kerry do very similar to Armagh the last day. Armagh were maybe slow and stodgy, maybe ran out of confidence in their attack. Kerry would just break with two kick passes, and exciting stuff to watch. Donny Smith, I'm going to leave it there with you.
Pleasure.
Really enjoyed your company today. We got two cracking games of football.
We did. We were lucky, and it's...
What's ahead of us tomorrow?
Oh, hopefully just mad excitement. I think it's going, with Loudon on, and I think it's going to be absolute fanfare, first of all, with the crowd that's expected. I think a lot is down on Rory Beggan. If he in or out.
I said the same.
I heard it's a dead leg. If it's a dead leg, okay, he'll be fine.
I had heard it was the groin.
Right, but if it's the groin, he's, like, as a goalkeeper, you're going to be under serious pressure. Like, isn't it mad that he's such an important player?
I could be wrong, by the way.
Yeah, look, we could both be wrong. But I think we all want to see him playing. Absolutely.
He's so important.
He is so important. But the way he's brought his game to the next level, it's so important that he plays. A goalkeeper, like, isn't it crazy that we're talking about a goalkeeper? Mm. That Monaghan need him to be playing to have a proper chance. I still think he has a great chance anyway. And with Loud, like, what I love about Loud is, right, that performance against Dublin and Portlaoise, they went back to the drawing board and went basically, what are we good at? They're good at the slow build-up, get Mulroy on the ball, wait for a 1v1, and obviously the likes of Downey, McCardle, you know, McDonald coming from the back, like, he's been a revelation this year. He wasn't in the team until maybe throughout the league when there was a couple of injuries, and he got himself in and he's been absolutely excellent. So really looking forward to that one. And then the second one, again, unfortunately you're probably talking about one player being in or out. Con, it looks like it's a hamstring, and he's had terrible luck the last probably 18 months.
Or it could be a cramp.
Well, if it's a cramp, he's going to be fine. And again, look,
I know.
I still feel I think Galway will have too much for Dublin. And I'm saying that tentatively, because today we would have thought Kerry would definitely too much for Tyrone.
Galway have lost two All-Ireland finals under Joyce. They let an All-Ireland quarter-final slip here against Meath last year, and they were good at after it. You'd think they'd have learned their lesson from that, and they might be the fourth team in the hat. But I think what we saw Dublin do last week, if Dublin have Conor, they can produce that again. We're in for a hell of a treat again.
We are, and I think, like, I would have been very, very hard in terms of, I would have said Galway, yeah, I think Galway, this is it now. But, like, this year, this championship, Tommy, it's brilliant. Like, how can anybody, like, I think I got the core prediction absolutely wrong.
That's
I got
okay.
the Kerry prediction, but that was the skin
just
of the teeth. Like, tomorrow, like, what's the point in even predicting? Just, well, let's enjoy the games.
But hey, what a dream, exactly, what a dream of a championship.
Yeah.
It's class. It's not always like this.
No, it's not. And we've spent 15 years looking at defensive football, 15 men behind the ball, defenders getting all the kudos, and forwards find life difficult, and now we're seeing the ball players come play football. It'd make you want to come out of retirement.
Ah, you can still do it for Boyle, for the club.
Yeah, just about.
Yeah, good man, Donny. Listen, enjoy that.
Thanks a million, Tommy.
We'll chat soon.
Gentlemen.
Andy Warren, we're outside the Mayo dressing room. You're into the All-Ireland semi-finals. You must be very proud of your team's performance after that.
Yeah, I've been asked, I suppose, a lot of words there in the last half an hour doing the media. But proud is probably the thing I would say. If a team says, does what they say they're going to do, and they go and do it, sure, you can't be anything but proud. And obviously, with the mid-20s that we've mentioned a lot in the last couple of weeks, Jack Coyne, Rhino, Dave McBrien, Hesh, these guys, Jordan and Jack Kearney, they're the key men in that dressing room. But when you see the young fellas coming through, and then you also see the more senior lads, the likes of Stevie Cohen, Conor Loftus, doing what they did there, Matty Ruan, it was just brilliant to see.
The mid-20s were brilliant. But there's a young cohort here as well that were just top class.
Yeah.
And I think we saw very early on in this game some of the young fellas trying to find their feet and maybe realising that Croke Park is a little bit different. Didn't take Kobe McDonald long. I think it took Darragh Byrne a couple of minutes. Mm. By God, he settled it.
Yeah, he won a great ball, Tommy. He won a great ball miles away from me, down under the Cusick, where it looked like he lost it, but he fought for it. And that's Darragh at his best. And Joe Boylard comes up to me and he said he's in the game now. Joe, because that's him doing it. You know?
Do you need to see that? Do you need to see a fella in the game?
Ah, yeah, I did. But Darragh knows, Kobe knows, Owen McGrail, Duffy, they know that we trust them. And if they make a mistake, it's fine. We're not going to whip them. We're going to let them at it and see how they get on. So I think they know that inside them as well.
You're in such a good position at half time. That's what it felt like from the neutrals. Mm. 9 apiece, you're shooting into the canal end in the second half. Cork is stung for a breach. O'Donoghue nails it. What are you saying at half time there?
Yeah, we thought we'd done okay. We thought we'd played okay. Didn't finish a lot of attacks. I think we had 8 or 9 turnovers in their half, which is it's not the most usual thing for us to do. We've done it a bit, and we've got punished a lot for it, but it's not actually the biggest percentage thing we do. So we're probably playing 5.5, 6 out of 10 at that stage, and we thought there was more in us. And it was just great. And when it happened, Joe, we get Tommy onto the field, we get Ryan out to centre forward. Paul did a great job for us in the first half. And just, Joe, the boys knew that we have quite a good bench now, and we're building quite a good bench. They knew that there was, Joe, ammo coming in off the bench.
It was the first of the 4 quarterfinals, and I think we saw last week that legs caught up on the likes of Donegal and Armagh. Maybe even mentally, they looked tired. Mm. But I got the sense from your boys off the field after beating me the last week that there was a giddiness and excitement to go to Croke Park. Did that play into how you performed today and what the last week was?
It played into the week, Tommy. The week was superb. Like, we, Joe, not meaning to overplay this, like, the boys, like, gave them Sunday off. They did their meetings on Monday. Like, we only trained once. We only trained on Wednesday, and the atmosphere of training was just brilliant. The B team, Joe, were just like the guys that haven't played. They were absolutely superb right through it. And when you have that in training, I think it's an energy that brings. But the boys were just excited about being here, and they were excited about, the older lads were excited about seeing the younger fellas here. So, and like, you have to remember, Tommy, we haven't really been here since 2023, and before that, the two All-Irelands we got to were both COVID. Now, Tyrone was the right occasion in 2021, but before that, so some of these lads haven't really seen that side of intercounty football yet, which is great for them.
So the last time a Mayo person probably celebrated like they did today was maybe that semi-final against the Dubs in 2021. That's an awful long time ago. As well as the young fellas that have made such an impact, fellas like Tommy Conroy and Matthew Ruan have come back in recent weeks. You're getting bodies back at the right time. That's so important to have fellas like that looking like they did look back in 2020 and 2021.
We probably, like, I'm not saying we mismanaged Tommy, we probably overmanaged him. And then by the time the Connacht stuff had happened, he wasn't fully ready for it, you know. Over the last month, Tommy, he's just, there was a challenge match. We played Meath in a challenge match a couple of weeks ago. He was superb in it. He showed good form in a challenge match against Kildare, so he was ready to go. And then he comes on against Monaghan and does well. And then didn't come on against Monaghan and then comes on against Tyrone and does well.
You've got options, and you saw that with the changes you made before the game. Paul Towie, I thought, had a good first half. He's taken off at half time.
Yeah.
Ruan comes in and has an impact. Duffy comes on and comes off. You're not afraid to make these changes?
No, I thought, like, Duffy was on for 50 minutes at that stage, like Jeremy. I actually thought he was. Again, I'll have to look back on it and need no more. But
was Bricken in a matchup for Hurley after that point?
No, he wasn't a matchup for Hurley. He was Corbett that came on. So, like, we knew we had a height deficit there, so we had to do something about it. But Duffy was, I thought, was superb in his championship debut in Croke Park.
2 quick ones, because we want to get out and watch Kerry to the 2 of us. Defensively, there's been a lot of questions asked about Mayo in the last little while. Jack Livingston makes 2 saves today, as a goalkeeper showed, 2 fabulous saves. But there wasn't gaping holes. And then I thought Sam Callanan was just a monster on turnovers today. What did you do today differently?
I think after 25 minutes, the last 10, not too oversimplified, I think the Meath game we did really well. I think we only conceded 6 points from about the 27th minute until the 70th minute. But we conceded way too much before that. And that was the issue. And I would feel that we're doing an awful lot of things well, we're just not doing them often enough. So I think today we were probably more secure through that. I thought McBrien was an absolute monster at 6, if I'm being honest. We'd move Hessian back to the corner when McGrail went off. No complaints, no nonsense, goes in, does his job, was excellent. Thought Jack Coyne again today was third game in a row, I thought he was excellent. So listen, it's coming along, it's getting there, but I think it's more the structure than the personality. You know?
It's going to be a really good weekend. Are you going to be here tomorrow for the 2 semi-finals?
Oh, absolutely. I can't tell you what the kids will be wearing tomorrow at that, but yeah. No,
I can tell you.
Yeah, we'll be here. And
Charlotte and Ollie have their Monaghan kids.
Yeah, so we'll be here, and it's in a great position to be in. You're the first one out, you get to watch the second semi-final, we get the second half of it, and then we move on to tomorrow to the 2 other quarterfinals.
As a player, you were part of Mayo teams that got to All-Ireland finals, plenty of them. Sometimes it was early in your journey, sometimes it was at your peak. What an opportunity in front of this group right now.
And that's the word for everyone. Obviously, Kerry are raging hot favourites. With everyone, if I'm being honest, but for everybody else in the competition, it's a huge opportunity. I think we were going through the 8 teams last night, and I think Dublin and Monaghan obviously went from Division 1, was there three Division 2 teams, and there's only three Division, like the teams left in Division 1 left in it. That was before today. So it was just, I think everyone was just looking at it as this huge opportunity, and luckily we just got through today.
Golden ticket.
Yeah, you said that. No, not me.
That word was used, but as in, these are such opportunities. Like, what an exciting thing as a footballer to come into Croke Park and know that you have a chance. It's brilliant.
It's brilliant. And it's, but what a, like, it's the greatest stadium in the world, Tommy. Like, it's the best place in the world, if I'm being honest. And it's, like, as we hear the celebrations going on above us, like, it's the best place in the world to play football and to be part of. Like, you wouldn't want to be any other place.
Andy Moran, well done. Best of luck over the next 2 weeks. I'm sure there's going to be a lot of excitement. And best luck with who you get in the draw in the preparation.
Andy, quite the result for your side here in Croke Park today.
Yeah, good opening. I was saying to people during the week that, like, I always thought this team was suited to Croke Park and the way it plays, because it's a completely different game. But the answer I was giving to everyone, we'll know more at 6:30 on Saturday evening, and I just think the boys put in a really good workmanlike shift. I think they did really well, and we'd have a bit of, I suppose, brilliance up front that kind of won us the game as well.
It's remarkable. It's quite the week. 20 minutes in, potentially last week in Castlebar, things might be looking a little bit hairy. Now you're through to the semi-finals. It's just an amazing journey for your side.
Amazing journey, but it all goes back to the Roscommon game and the week after it, and what Ryan, Darren and Jack did. Jack the captain, the boys, the two vice-captains, just pulled everyone together. They knew that wasn't our best that we could produce. We probably made a few mistakes leading into that game in terms of coaching, managing, stuff like that. So we took the hit for it, and we kind of moved on. But the lads have been just superb since. And they were superb before, but they've been really, really good since, yeah.
What did you do during the weekend? I mean,
nothing. What did we do? We played on Saturday. The boys do their own meetings then on Monday. We just did walkthroughs and stuff on Tuesday, and we train on Wednesday, and we come up here yesterday. So, like, you can do very, very little in the weeks in between. But that's the cost of losing a game, and you only have week on, week on.
From the outside, the defensive display seemed to be completely different today. What's your thoughts on that? Did you work on that during the week?
I think our defensive display, actually, after, 19 or 20 minutes, the last day was actually very good. I think we won the rest of the game 19-6. So I think we're quite good at that, but the first 20-25 was just a bit hairy. So we're working, but we've really good defenders, Mike. Do you know, but we just need to get the structure and the format right. I think that's what we looked at more than anything.
You're looking for moments, Andy. Kobe, look, we all know the superstar that he is and he's going to be, but like, I think he scores after 28 seconds, but it's the outside of the boot 26 minutes in, outside of the boot in front of the hill. Just an iconic score.
Yeah, he's just, like, Ryan would back me up on this, he's just the most humble young fella. You wouldn't even know he's around the place when he's there. I think Jordan has him under in the headlock half the time. But no, he's just a really, really good kid. And, like, if Colin McDonald's out kicking in Crossing Line tomorrow and someone sees him, I wouldn't be surprised. You know, that's the sort of fella he is. He'll keep trying it on. He doesn't back away. You see him for the goal chance the last minute. You know, as a manager, you're thinking, this fella's 18, he's not going to fist this over the bar, you know. So he wanted the goal, and he's 18 years of age, but he's just a great kid, and coming from a great family, and it was a great sport.
Ryan, in all honesty, after the full-time whistle against Roscommon, could you have seen yourself sitting here?
To be honest with you, you don't get that opportunity to look too far ahead. Obviously, it was a disaster at the final whistle, especially the way we lost, but we just had to regroup, I suppose, as a player group first and look internally, and we done that and got together. We had a lot of things to sort out and just back to basics, and just delighted to be in the semi-final now, to be honest.
Ask these questions, lads, so we'll hold the rest now for...
You're in the semi-final. Do you let yourself think of actually going the whole way in
a minute? No. To be honest with you, I was thinking during the week, and we got to 2 All-Ireland finals in my first 2 seasons in 2020 and 21, and you're kind of thinking, Jesus, this is going to happen every year. And then 2022, I get injured. 2023, we lose here to the Dubs, and we haven't been back since. So today, to be honest with you, it's a bit emotional after that result there, because I suppose as our team now, the mid-20s, late-20s, we haven't been in Croke Park or give the Mayo fans or the Mayo faithful something to shout about. And in the second half against Meath, that was the first time that we've heard the Mayo faithful, and we've given the Mayo faithful something to shout about for quite a while and too long, and we repaid them. And then today, on the 69th minute, 50 seconds, when Hesh and Sam had the ball around the middle, and I knew it was over, like, to turn around and to see the Mayo fans just on their feet, that's something that I haven't felt in a while, and something you want to get every game. And to see the amount of people that came up and supported us today and was outstanding, and just really looking forward now to the next 2 weeks.
In relation to that, Ryan, how pleasing is it to see two young lads in their debut seasons, either stadium, coming and performing at Cork?
Yeah, don't forget Jack Livingston then as well.
We had seven making their debut in Croke Park today. Seven. And I'd say Jeremy Duffy made it eight, did he?
Yeah, so I'd luck the two lads. They're only 18 and 19, but they demand so much of me, I demand so much of them, and we just bounce off each other. And even that free I won straight after the second half, and I was thinking, will I take this? It's kind of Dara's side, and Dara said, I'm taking this. And I said, fine, you take it. And he puts it over the black spot, like, and that's exactly what we need and the team needs. And the three of us just bounce off each other, but they're old enough, they're good enough, and there's breath of fresh air, and they're here to win. Them boys have played underage football, Dara with Coleman's, won stuff, under 20s, and they're winners, and they just want to win and want to play football, so it's brilliant to play with them.
Andy, Jason, I mean, 8 debuts Croke Park, you talked up the ambition that Croke Park is last week. From to go and play like that, I mean, how did it play like that? How did it just kind of not come here with nerves, with expectation, and just go and play that football?
Yeah, Ryan Willow, I expect that off them in terms of the way, but until you're here, until you play here, you don't know the feel of it. That's the truth from a playing point of view, from management point of view. I've seen fellas excel here and crumble here. So until they're here, you don't really know. So now I have to go away and kind of assess, okay, these boys can do it. I even thought Young McGrail was outstanding before he went off. Great turnover on, or he did very well on Oak Jones for the goal chance. And then he makes a burst up the field and just gets a knock and gets taken off. So he's another one there that is just at that point where they're excellent. But to see the young lads, to see Dara, after going off after 20 minutes last week with an injury, to come back and score 7 points in Croke Park on his debut was just unbelievable.
Last question, lads.
In terms of injuries, you mentioned all the crew went off there. Paddy Durkin went off against me, then Jeremy Conte did it 26 this week. How are they for 2 weeks' time?
Yeah, Jeremy did the most Jeremy thing ever, really. To be honest, he just pushed himself too far last week, if I'm being honest. That's what happened to him. But he was just out. I'd say if we had another 2 days, Jeremy would have been fine. Paddy will be... I'd say he'd be close. We were trying to push him on Wednesday night to make it, but he just wasn't right for the 26, so hopefully he'll be back. I don't think McGrail is serious, but we'll go in and kind of jarred his knee a tiny bit, so we'll just go in and we'll assess that. But I think everyone else is good in there. But these lads, Stuart, have done unbelievable work. Like in the physio room, in the weights room, in the recovery room, they've done unbelievable work, and John, they're reaping the rewards now. So yeah, listen, we'll enjoy the next 2 weeks and we'll see how the semi-final goes.
John, frustrating day at the office. How do you sum up your thoughts here in full time?
Yeah, frustrating. I suppose bring it down maybe to efficiency. We had plenty of the ball. 30% conversion rate on our shots. I think Mayo were up somewhere around 70. We weren't good in front of goal today, and we didn't get the scores. Mayo were much more efficient, and they got the scores. And look, that's the reason they got over the line, and we didn't. We just scored 18 points, which is not enough to win, quarter final here in Croke Park on a fine evening. And we'd be disappointed about that. Yeah,
you had a decent second quarter, but probably on that, left a couple of scores behind, and then the breach before half time was a bit of a killer, I'd imagine.
Yeah, there was a lot of things now. I think Mayo had 6-2 pointers. I think we had two and we had none from play, which had been a feature of our game all year. But in fairness, Mayo pushed up and they tackled ferociously, and for that alone and for their efficiency, probably deserved to get over the line. But we would have a lot of regrets on what we left behind us scoring wise, and as I said, 30% and 18 points won't get you over the line at this level.
John, was any of that down to Mayo's improved defensively?
Yeah, a lot of it was.
Yeah.
They pushed out very much, and there were some scores now that we should have, but other times, in fairness, our lads were under big pressure, and the Mayo defence was very good, yes.
the second breach they did in the second half, just where you get the momentum, they're real killer blows, aren't they?
They are, yeah. You know, yeah, I said the one before halftime was particularly hard. Like, we looked like we'd go in 2 points up, or, you know, we're facing kick out down the field might be another score, and things like all those little things add up, and you know, we just seem to pull the trigger a small bit too quick then at other times, and we became trying to chase it maybe too quickly and became frustrated, and that was the reason we had a lot of wides, and as I said, our execution was just poor today.
Difficult probably to assess so soon afterwards, but the year as a whole, like, you've got that all important promotion to Division 1, some big wins, was highlighted by the victory in Ballybofey. How do you assess things where you're on the journey?
I suppose looking in the days and weeks to come, we might be looking at that. You know, I don't think tonight we'll be looking at the season until things settle down. Or we're just disappointed that we lost today, and that's the only thing in our mind at the moment.
That's 5 digital questions, lads. Does this feel like an opportunity loss, John? No disrespect to me, I kicked 23 points, but with the amount of wides you had, the turnovers, and another day, you know the team is capable of more, and that this was one you should have won.
Look, as I said, when you have 30% efficiency and 18 scores, that and our 2-pointers. But look, I suppose, look, fairness, give credit to Mayo as well. Their defence was excellent. Their efficiency on the other side was very, very good as well. Anytime they went up. And they were more efficient than us, and it was just one of those days that we just couldn't seem to get on terms then, and we were shooting a bit under pressure, and lads got a bit frustrated then, and it didn't. The more wides we had, you know, the more the pressure came on the lads, and you know, it just one of those days that we didn't. We our efficiency wasn't good enough.
Folks. Just one last one,
sorry.
You were talking about assessing the year as a whole. Getting up to Division 1 is very, very important. But for this year, and for getting to Croke Park, a lot of the players playing in a big, high-profile game like this and mightn't have experienced it before. How important is that for the
next year? Without a doubt. Like, this is the place to be playing, you know. And even said it to the lads inside there, you know, this is the experience. This is where titles are won and lost. And It's a great place to be, but it also can be an unforgiving place to be. And you know, in recent times we haven't had an awful lot of exposure to playing here in Croke Park. And look, we've been here twice this year. Look, we didn't get over the line in any of them. But look, hopefully the experience will stand to these lads, and you know, going forward. But as I said, look, we would be very disappointed to go home this evening. But look, hats off to Mayo. The game was there to be won, and they won it. And I wish them the best of luck in the semi-final.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Movember ahead of the game. Building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
This is News Talk.
Michael McKernan, thanks for stopping. It's not easy after a defeat, but yeah. Your Tyrone boys put on one hell of a show today and really ran the All-Ireland champions down the stretch.
Yeah. Look, we probably knew ourselves we had a chance. People outside didn't really give us much of a chance, and it probably helps that wee bit. But we knew the quality that's there, the younger boys coming through, the more experienced boys, and just came up short. But we gave it our best shot anyway.
You really did. What went into that for you? Because we can talk about the kick-out battle, we can talk about the brilliant scores you got, some of the dynamite coming in off the bench.
Yeah.
For you, what was it? As a team, what did you do today?
We just kind of give it a go. It was more with nothing to lose because no one was giving us a chance. We were coming down here completely written off, and as I said, we know the quality we have. We know obviously the quality that Kerry have. You seen Gavin White coming in to the starting lineup, and then Sean O'Shea coming on. There's still Thomas Sullivan still out, so they have that quality. The Cliffords obviously. So we knew the battle that was going to be in front of us, but we just had to go out and give it our all, and we just came up short.
I think we'll all be forgetting about league football anymore when we're doing any bit of punditry. Like, your championship has been Armagh in extra time, beating Roscommon by a point, beating Mayo by a point, running the All-Ireland Championship to a point with 40 seconds to go.
Yeah.
Like, as a group, to go into the winter with that and the flood of underage stars coming behind you, like, it's a good place to be. And I know it's horrible now, but...
Yeah, look, like, we were put in a good bit of work in the pre-season when you had the work banked. League form probably was up and down. Like, there was games we weren't getting the performances.
These are the days, though, that you want to be right.
Yeah. Look, it's always kind of leagues are there and championships whenever you want to start peaking, and then obviously we came up short today, but we gave a good account of ourselves, and I think all the ones we played were Division 1 teams.
Can so, I ask you about the going down the stretch and being outside the arc? There's, I think you go for a two-pointer, you're two down, but I'd say just under 90 seconds to go.
Yeah.
And what happened? You caught it nicely.
The Jerry rushed out a wee bit and stepped inside, and it was a great block from whoever it was. I think it was Keith Evans, or it could have been Evan Looney,
but they're on the ground and they get their hand to it.
Yeah. Look, it's great defensive work from them. I didn't actually realise it was 90. I thought it was less than 90 seconds. Probably could have got it to the likes of McCurry or something. But
it was probably less.
But the game was there. A bit of space popped up and I went for it, and it was a great block.
I didn't get as good an angle as you did. Did you feel like it was on the way?
I felt like I'd caught it well, like, but sure, we'll never know.
We're not going to speak for anyone here, but you all embraced Matty Donnelly at the end of the game. His kids were on the field with him. What a legend, what a performance today.
Yeah,
I don't know if there hasn't been said or will there be anything said, but what a career he's put in for Tyrone.
Yeah, it's Matty, even the likes of Dazzler and Morgan, them boys that are that wee bit older, they owe absolutely nothing to us, and you can see the performances from all of them in the last few games, and they're massive in that changing room. There's nothing being said. We'll just regroup, go again, and hopefully they're there next year. We just don't know yet.
Absolutely. You're sending the Tyrone fans down the road today. Very proud of you. It was a serious shift and hard luck. I know you're All-Ireland champions from 21, so plenty of you have done it before, but for yourself, Michael, your own journey back, I know you were tortured with the shoulder as well, so even being back out there in that arena is such a big thing.
Yeah, I think it was quarterfinal last year against Dublin.
You're in a bad way with it.
Yeah. Was out with that, bad enough injury. Thankfully, got back through the physio's done a lot of work with me and got back for a few minutes against Kerry last year in the semi-final. It's great to be out there, and as I got there and the experience, obviously Cass, Mackers, all them younger boys are going to get playing in these big games.
Michael, you're very good with your time. Thanks for chatting to us today. Thank you. Hard luck. Well done.
Thank you, Tommy.
And hard
Cheers.
Luck. All
Thank
the best. Darren McCurry, you're naturally devastated after that. Tyrone put in a savage shift and had Kerry to a point with about 40 seconds to go.
Yeah.
What's the feelings?
Probably disappointment. We're very confident coming in this game, put on a couple of good performances leading into it. We felt in a good place. Obviously, Kerry had three games in the bounce there, so we felt confident, quietly confident going into it, and we thought if we get them to 60 minutes that the game would be there or thereabouts, and unfortunately, we just didn't finish the job.
You had them, but you just couldn't get level.
Yeah.
What was it that you just couldn't get that extra, maybe? McAllum was very unlucky. You kicked 10 points after you come in. You just couldn't get that extra point, was it, two in a row?
Sometimes in the day you just need a wee bit of luck or a couple of decisions to go your way, and I felt today we didn't get them. And to get over a big team like Kerry, you need them decisions to kind of go your way.
What do you mean in the middle of your purple patch?
Yeah, just a couple of decisions, maybe. I don't like pointing out referees and stuff, but it's just a couple of decisions there. And maybe I think we're a wee bit naive when there was a point in it, we went man-to-man on the kick-out. And that cost us because they bunched and then they blocked. And you kind of need to go zone in the kick out if you're looking to win that ball. I think man to man's very, very hard to get that kick out. And try and put them long, and they went short in the last two kick outs, and that's ultimately how they won the game.
Yeah, it feels like Shane Murphy has had a hell of a year. Their deputy goalkeeper in a lot of ways for their all-star keeper.
Yeah,
and he stepped up, and we've seen their depth that Kerry have, and they're bringing in Gavin White to start today and Sean O'Shea off the bench. What did you bring to the table? Because you have All-Stars in abundance, All-Ireland winners, a lot of underage talented players too.
100%.
What fueled your confidence, Darren?
Probably talking that all week, in the last probably number of weeks, that the amount of boys with medals, minors, under 20s, as said, senior players. We knew quietly getting into the game that we have good players as well. Now, I know we haven't shown it throughout the league and the start of the championship, but listen, every team's there to be beaten, and we knew if we could turn up, especially when we get to Croke Park, that we could put up a good fight. And I said to the lads, if we can get them to 60 minutes and it's tight, they'll be there for the taking. And as I said, Kerry are a good side, there's some phenomenal players, Geaney, Clifford, there's a break of them there, and a couple of Geese scored that two-pointer. It was a crucial big score. They just kept us at arm's length. They were just, as you said, we could never just squeeze the gap to get ahead or even draw the game.
Gainey kicks that big two-pointer and he gives a massive fist pump to the Kerry crowd. You get a two-pointer seconds later and you respond with another fist pump.
It's like, all part of it, isn't it?
It is, though, isn't it? Because the fans are getting involved. The momentum is a real thing now in football.
Yes, brilliant. As I said, it was a phenomenal score. Probably got a wee bit too much room for that one. Like the rest of the ones, he scored two in the first half.
Yeah.
And he was like, the man was right on his toe and he still kicked it over. So listen, Kerry's always a quality footballers and different players at different times that stood up. But listen, today I thought a lot of our young boys stood up, and as well as the older boys. I thought Kieran McGeary was phenomenal.
Savage.
You know, that one in the first half where he dispossessed the boy in the middle of the D and went over and kicked over from 50 yards. You
back
know,
to
for,
his best.
For a man that hadn't played much league, was away travelling, you know, he's been brilliant since he's been back.
Con Kilpatrick was a powerhouse
as well. Con's been brilliant. He's really stood up in the championship. You know, since that game again, Armagh, he's been brilliant and really, really stood up and led the team on.
The new game has allowed attacking football to come back, and we're seeing a lot of forwards flourish. We saw some savage shooting exploits today from the Mayo forwards, from the Kerry forwards, from yourself and Owen McInerney, put up some super scores in that second half. You're on it, or you have been on it in the last couple of games. How has that felt? Because I'm sure you'd love to start, but you're coming into games and have an unbelievable impact the last couple of weeks.
Do you know, I said maybe 2 weeks ago, you know, it's been a tough year, battling injuries all year, and something I wasn't used to in my whole career. I kind of was lucky, I was injury free, and see that not being able to train and being in pain to train and then having to take like an naproxen to be able to play and train, that's something I wasn't used to, and it's been a struggle. And you know, as every player does, like, you doubt yourself. And thankfully, I came in 2 weeks ago and I felt that I was a good place, and played a nice game last week. And again, I felt I was sharp and ready. But listen, I was happy to do whatever Malachy wanted me to do. Be an impact start, it didn't really matter.
Malachy turned to you very early in that second half. I'm sure you were expecting the call. I don't even think you were warming up at the start of the second half. I think you knew you'd be in fairly soon.
Yeah. And you listen, me and Malachy's great relationship there. He said, whenever the time is right, that will get you on. And listen, just one of them days, thankfully, I came on and I made a good impact.
You're a fabulous football county in Tyrone, and what you've done in the last 25 years has been absolutely remarkable, and change the years before that as well. You've a lot of young footballers coming through, a couple of older boys as well. You know, Matty Donnelly took his time at the end of the game there. You hardly feel like you're finished after putting on a show like that.
Listen, I suppose, like, some Matty and stuff owes nothing to Tyrone football. You know, he's put his life on hold for 15 years. Same as number one, Niall, myself, and a couple of other boys. So you never know when the time is over, when the time's right to leave. Listen, it's a massive commitment. I have a young family there now, and as I said, this year has been a struggle. You know, as I said, you doubt yourself. You start to say, do I still have it anymore? Thankfully, I showed I still do have a wee bit in me, but listen, it's early yet. We'll see what happens.
Yeah. Darren McCurry, listen, hard luck today. It was super stuff and great to see you back flying on the field. Hard luck.
Good lad. Thanks, eh?
Yeah, it was a ferocious battle out there. Like, it's our third week in a row, and at times we look leggy in the second half. And you know, it's last week was a big emotional game for all of us, you know. And might have taken a bit more, you know, a bit out of the legs. And Croke Park is an unforgiving place if you haven't got legs. I thought at times Tyrone almost looked like they had a bit of extra freshness. But what a battle. I mean, Tyrone stayed with us right to the wire, as we thought they would. So all this foolish, loose talk that was going on for the last week or so is blown out of the water there today.
Jackie, you were always able to keep your noses in front. I think one was deficit was the most they got to. How important was that? There was big score after big score after big score.
Yeah. We were never able to get away from them. I thought there was times, maybe in the second half, we snatched at a couple of two-pointers. We had a great goal chance that we appeared to over-elaborate on. Any of those going over, I think, would have settled us, but we were never far enough away to relax. We probably went to four, did we? Once or twice, but Tyrone just hung in there, never highly dangerous in the break. They're very efficient with the ball. Well-coached team, so well done to Malik O'Rourke and Ryan Porter. They did a great job with that team, because I think they've improved significantly from last year.
it's a slog that you've been on the last couple of weeks. You'll be glad of the time to reset now.
Yeah, I mean, it's just tough going. I mean, I know Jimmy Guinness was talking about it last week, but, you know, it catches up with you, and this is a big pitch. It's an unforgiving pitch if you're tired. So later on, lads were out on their feet, and, you know, thankfully we were able to be on subs that helped us, and that saw us through.
Jack, how happy are you with their composure? I mean, there's so many ordinary teams that have fallen to draw because of not having composure to right moments. Players just seem to have it.
Well, particularly the last play there, you know, that was crucial. Looked like we'd lost the ball, and then David got a hold of it. And no better man knew the right thing to do, worked it into the corner, played it back out, back into the corner. See, you know, that's what a bit of experience does. They've been in these situations, and they've learned from them. And with some finish in the end, I wasn't even sure at the time who got it, but it was some relief to see that one hitting the net.
Dylan Ganey's performance again today, Jack, 8 points, all from play. Yeah. He really is taking his game to higher levels week on week.
Yeah, he had an incredible performance. In the end, he had cramped up, so we had to take him off, but he kicked some great scores at times when we needed them. There was one there in the second half, over towards the Cusick, a 2-point. I felt at the time that was a massive score because we were struggling a bit, and it just kept our noses in front. Now, I don't know, was that a man of the match, was there?
But he got it, I think.
He was in the conversation last week as well, along with David, so David had to get it last week, but I'd say Dylan comfortably got it this week.
One man who certainly didn't look tired, Jack, was Gavin White. What a performance.
Yeah.
His return to the team. His runs from defence continuously throughout the game.
Unbelievably, yeah. He just gave us great go-forward momentum. He didn't know he was in the team until this morning. Brian Bigley just got back spasm, so he had to pull out, but had a replacement in Gavin.
That's the last of
digital questions now, lads. Sorry, Tony, did you have a question?
Yeah, no, your point. I was just going to say, Jack, that foolish talk that you were mentioning there, I mean, you know, I don't know where you're talking about, maybe it was outside the county, but I was down in Kerry actually for the week. There was a sense, was there maybe a little sense of overconfidence in Kerry this week? And obviously you'd be hoping it wouldn't seep through to the group, but was that a concern?
Sure, to that was a concern when you hear people going on like that this was a done deal or whatever. But I'm stuck in it a long time. There's never a soft heart, and I tell you that one. And we knew we were at a bit of a disadvantage coming in this week. They are a well-coached team who are well-rested, and you know, the fortnight break. So they were always going. If they home win the game, they were going to always be highly dangerous. And they have some lovely footballers like Sir Michael Holm, McCurry, Cassidy, and the 40 lads like that. And Kilpatrick, good system of play, so they were always going to be highly dangerous. And the fact that we were facing our third game in a row then, that was going to make it hard on us.
Jack, there wasn't a great Kerry crowd there compared to the quarterfinal 12 months ago, obviously. Would you hope that they turn up for semi-final?
I sure we hope they'll turn up every day, John, but look, to be fair, they backed us well this year, and Maybe they heard some of the talk, and maybe they thought that they'd have another day out. But thankfully, just to go back to Tony's question, that we managed to insulate the panel from that, because you know we're too long. We've had too many jokes with Tyrone now to ever take them for granted, ever. Going back 20 years.
Jack, I know it's not the ultimate ambition, but six straight All Ireland semi-finals now is a great sign of consistency for the county. With all the different challengers that are there around.
There's no medals given out in Kerry for semi-finals, Jason, I tell you that much. Or no pats in the back either. So you have to go ahead and win them, like. So that's the next target.
How valuable would that game be to you, Jack?
Look, it remains to be seen, Damien, but like that was a fierce battle. You know on the sideline. I could feel it in the sideline, like there was times we looked like we were going to put them away, and you know that goal chance that we missed
that would have put seven points in,
and yeah. we probably would have had a more comfortable last quarter of an hour, but as long as they stayed within 3-4 points, that was always going to be highly dangerous. And I'm telling you, I think what saved us was our kick out retention. Shane Murphy put on some exhibition there. He was getting a bit of stick early in the year, and people were comparing to Shane Ryan, but as the season has gone on, you know, he's they've done the boys have done some work in the kickouts, himself and Brian Kelly, and there's a lot of moving parts in kickouts. But lads, there were two kickouts there in the day, and they were absolutely critical. One out, both out to the Hogan side, one to Armin Heinrich and one to Jason Foley. Hands on ball is like gold dust at that stage. So
just a word on Shane Ryan. He wasn't on the bench today, was he?
That old pie injury is still giving him a bit of bother. Now he's nearly there, but he just had a bit of a tweak in it during the week, and we'll see if they settle down again. It's nothing major, but we couldn't chance him.
And Breen?
Breen just got a back spell him today. Should be okay, should be fine in a couple of days.
Can you give any consolation that you were superb today? It was a
heroic
performance
for you. It's probably not that, there's not that much compensation at this stage. We always expect ourselves to come up and put in a big performance. We knew the boys were training well. We were after coming through a couple of really tough games, which leaves you battle hardened as well. We knew those areas obviously we had to improve, and I thought, in fairness, in the first half we were a wee bit off it. They won too many kickouts, and when you give Kerry possessions, they'll usually end up in an attack and oftentimes a score. So that was the thing that we had to be better on the second half. And just in general, I just felt all over the field we had to just show more urgency. There was a lot of break ball that we weren't maybe quick enough. And just as well as that, our forwards, we wanted our forwards to come alive, if you like. You know, with a lot of young legs, fresh legs, and we just felt to take the game to Kerry a wee bit more in the second half. We did that, and it's just disappointing we didn't get anything out of it. And really, I suppose, you know better than me watching it, you know, slightly detached from it. We felt that some of the calls that went against us were really, really harsh. Maybe it'll look different on the video when we look at it, but those marginal calls there that were really hard at one stage, the Kerry boys had even stopped playing because it seemed so blatant to us. So it was really hard to take in such a tight game that happened. And I'm not here to blame referees or officials or anything else, but at the same time, we seem to get a very, very hard deal out there. Maybe I'm wrong.
The 45
yeah.
That would have made it a draw match.
Yeah, you know, stuff like that. Like, how is that happening? Like, it's, you know, and sometimes you nearly have that in your mind before you come down thinking, we're not getting the rub of the green, you know, but look, that's we just have to suck it up. But it certainly seemed harsh to me out there on a number of occasions.
Manny, did you ask
for the Conte-Patrick
record
that wasn't brought up, the one that was
brought up for Sean Ryan was for 20 minutes on the push? There seems to be a conversation as to why he was fouled for that kick out, he wasn't brought forward. Did you get any information?
No, we didn't, no. No, we didn't.
Mark, a lot of your young players, I know it's tough with the minute, but I mean, Division 2 campaign, that was difficult to put the All-Ireland champions to the
pin
of their collar. I mean, it's going to stand for them going forward.
Yeah, hopefully it will, you know, but I suppose look at the Division 2 campaign, but you know, a lot of things are taken out of context. We knew ourselves that with a number of fellas, you know, at the start of the National League were only coming back. They'd only been on the field training for a couple of weeks. There's some fellas weren't there at all. We were playing, you know, during the National League, those times, there was probably, I'd say, four or five of those defenders weren't playing in the games. So we knew that we would get stronger as the year went on, and it's very hard when you're chopping and changing like that to get the cohesion that you need. It was only as all our players were getting back fit that we were able to work a lot on our defensive play and kickouts and everything else, you know. So we knew we would improve, and then when we got that chance with a longer spell at training before the championship, we were able to do that. We did feel coming in today, we felt, even though we were written off, I'm sure, by everyone, and look at that, that's acceptable on the evidence that was there, but we knew that we would be in with a shout. We came down here to win, there's no doubt about that. That's why it's so disappointing, because if we would have been coming down thinking, if we put up a good show, happy with that, that wasn't the case. I was completely convinced we would win the game, and that's why it's really, really disappointing the way it finished up, and just when you feel that things didn't go your way in certain times, you know. Yeah, Darren came in, you know, and Darren again had was one of the players who had missed a lot of training, you know, before the Armagh game and then after the Armagh game. He came in the last day, just played that cameo role to perfection and just was so sharp and accurate and so on, and we just felt that, I suppose we didn't want to risk him from the start, that when the game was in the melting pot that we might be having to take him out, you know, if the legs didn't stick or whatever else. And again, he just came in and was electric, and his leadership and his ability to convert them chances was brilliant, you know, and it, I suppose it nearly worked.
You're getting 10 points off Darren McCurry, so it's hard to say you didn't get an impact from your bench, but I mean, aside from Darren McCurry, there wasn't an awful lot of experience there. I mean, you had no Derek Gannigan today, no Rory Gannigan. I mean, if you had those lads coming in with 15, 20 minutes to go.
Yeah, that's right. You know, there is obviously Dara and Rory, there's another couple of lads there as well, injured Ben McDonald, who played there last year, and other fellows at the panel as well, so we weren't picking from the full panel, and obviously someone like Dara and Rory there coming in there to freshen up the forward line would be a massive bonus to you. But look, they weren't fit to play. They've long-term injuries and you know, major injuries. So look, that was a hand we were dealt.
If you take away the goal at the end of the game today, all the four matches in your championship have been single point margins. Does that tell you how close you are actually to making that big breakthrough?
Well, I suppose it tells us that. The one thing about that is that you know that fellas coming down the stretch of that can hold their nerve, can show that leadership, can show that resilience if you want. But the main thing is composure and being able to make good decisions. And when you win in 1 point games, that you grow that and you, it's evidence. You don't have to tell people, we can do it. The evidence is there in front of them. And we felt that coming down, that we felt that was an advantage we had over Kerry. Like that we had played, our last three games all were 1 point. We lost Armagh by a point, we won the other two by a point. We were battle hard and we knew that coming down the stretch, with a lot of young lads there, good legs, we felt that we'd be right in the game and we could push on. And we, you know, when Kerry went up and scored, it was often looked as if they were going to pull away, but we kept coming back. And again, I say that's why it's so disappointing that we just weren't able to finish it. And just to look, go back over that.
There's a lot of talk about the honour trophies and the success and the young players coming through. What key players today, Darren McCurry, Matty Donnelly, Conte Magic's about to turn 30. All sort of season stars, Kieran Geary was really good as well. They all stood up. How important is it and how hopeful are you that most of them, if not all of them, will be there next season?
Yeah, I think it is really important because the younger lads are great lads. They've got they're a great ambitious group, great attitude and everything about them. You couldn't get better, but they still do need they have to be given that time to develop, you know, and that's why everyone, you know, and playing those tough championship games is so good for those lads because it gets them to trust themselves and to learn so much about you know, team play and everything else. So it's great for them. But those lads, the more experienced lads, are great role models for them first of all, but just that level of experience and know-how, and that is great to have there as well. So hopefully those boys will stay about as well, just to help guide those fellas through, because it's a massive transition from under 20 level to senior level, just with regards to physical development, but also mental development. You know, that's the big part that's often overlooked, so that's key as well, you know, and just the more help those boys get to come through, the better.
Well, just drastically about how you approach the game, like, there's no double offs, no kind of batting down the hatches. You pushed out bravely man for man, and you know, you were well able to compete.
No, we'll look at it. We did feel that there was a couple of players that we had to try and to lock down as best we could. But as well as that, then it was a case then that there's times you can push out. There's other times that you know, obviously with the forwards Kerry have, and if you're allowing ball to be played in there and loads of space, they're going to punish you. So there's times that we had to try and condense that area as well. But it was just a case that, you know, it was team defence all the time. If we were pushing out, we all had to be doing it as a group. Once we got back, everybody had to be working together as a unit, you know, and we did that fairly well times. And then the way the rules are now, there is going to be spaces there, time. So it's just about trying to get everyone working together and cutting down that space as much as you can. And we did that well at times, but obviously there's other times, and someone like David Clifford is going to expose you, you know, when there is space there.
Thanks, folks. Sorry, one more question.
Last one.
Yeah, of course, you know, you want all your best players there, obviously, you know, and the two lads, you know, are you know, integral part of it, and two great players, great lads. But as I said earlier, just the injuries didn't allow them to play any part, and it wasn't even a case the last day we put Dara on for the last few minutes just to give us a boost in the crowd, a boost in everything else, and then he just re-injured in training, and it wasn't a chance of doing it today at all, and Rory's had an operation, so just, you know, it was just unfortunate.
Gaelic football on Off the Ball.
Thanks to Movember Ahead of the Game, building mentally resilient GAA communities on and off the pitch.
This is News Talk.